So, My Neighbor Totoro.
So,
why did you choose this movie for me, Jason?
It is a beloved movie in my house and across the world. It is from the 80s, which is sort of what we try to stick with
this movie is as old as me, 1988.
Yes. It is, well, I just turned into dust and blew away.
Goodbye!
And although as my daughter asked me, when, because we usually watch the dub version rather than Japanese with English subtitles, the dub is from 2006.
Right. Okay.
So the movie is from 88, but it has actors in it that you're like, well, that person wasn't alive in 88. But the mainstream English dub version that's out there these days is from 2006. But the movie's from 88. I first saw it, I don't know, probably, yeah, 2008, 2010, 2012. It was not that long ago that I... So it seems more recent to me than it actually is. And I think for most Americans, that's probably true, because I think our understanding of Hayao Miyazaki, the brilliant Japanese animation director, in America, he went mainstream a little bit later than, you know, he was a huge star in Japan.
So, as I like to do with these movies, I tell you what I knew and thought before about My Neighbor Totoro. I knew it was a beloved movie. I even wrote beloved movie, and you said beloved movie, which I think is funny. I'm very familiar with the character of Totoro. You know, like, I know the character.
You've seen the Totoro around. Yeah,
seen
sure.
it. You know, as somebody who loves Pusheen, like, Pusheen and Totoro go together quite nicely.
Yes, they're
similar
related,
in color,
sure.
Right? I know the umbrella bus stop image very well, right? Like, it's just like an iconic image. So I asked a question. Is Totoro an imaginary friend? That was my thought going into the movie. Like, is Totoro an imaginary friend? Is that what Totoro is? We'll find
out. Interesting question.
And then also, just as a note, this is my first ever Miyazaki movie. I've never seen a Miyazaki movie before.
Wow. Well, I realize that depending on how this goes, we may rapidly move on to Kiki's Delivery Service, but which is actually my favorite Miyazaki movie. This is my probably second favorite.
So I'm
also
sure
from the 80s.
If there is a special guest host of next week's episode listening right now, they will be upset at the fact that I watched the dubbed movie. I'm sure that would upset that person.
There are purists out there, and it's true. If you want to get closest to the Japanese spirit, because the dubs have to match the sort of the mouth movement and what's on screen, and so they don't always impart all the same information that you would get in the translation of what they're saying in Japanese, and I get that. At the same time, for an animated movie, I do have this other feeling, which is it's all dubbed in a way, because there are drawings with somebody's recorded voice underneath them. But I get it. I have watched it with the subs before, but I didn't watch it with the subs this time either. I watched the dub version.
So the movie, I guess, is focused around a young family moving from Tokyo to the country because the mom of the family is sick, and they never say what, but it's clearly something very bad. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I assume tuberculosis, but
Okay.
And that's your villain in the film, by the way. The villain in the film is the illness of the mom. There's no bad person in this at all.
So they're moving to the country because I guess it will be better for her once she hopefully gets better. And the movie is focused around the two girls, Sutsuki and Mei. Now, I had just assumed that Mei would be the main focus of the movie, and like after the establishing part, that Sutsuki would fade into the background, but that wasn't the case.
No, Sutsuki's the main character, and Mei is just this adorable little sister who does.
Yeah, and I like that. It wasn't what I expected, but I enjoyed that. I will say this movie perfectly captures the relationship of a younger sibling.
Doesn't it? Yes. As having, I never had close aged siblings, but having had two kids who were 3 years apart, I laugh at that so much because it's so true. Like there's a scene where they're going through the house and Mei just keeps basically doing exactly what Sutsuki already did.
And repeating everything
repeating everything she says and all of that. And she says, I'm going to go do this thing. It's like, oh, can I come too? Like that's the little sister is just following her around and doing everything she does. It's adorable.
That the dub, the voices are Dakota and Elle Fanning. like sisters,
actual sisters,
mm-hmm. which I really liked, and they did a great job. I thought that it was real. Their performance was excellent. Like, you could show me that movie, and I don't think I would have known it was dubbed. I guess the only giveaway would have been for me, which is a little bit interesting. I kind of just had to put it to the back of my mind of, like, this is clearly Japan, and these are clearly American accents, right? Like, I had to, like, just try and just forget that, and I was able to after the first couple of minutes, but, like, at first it was a bit like, this is very Japanese, like, what I'm seeing here, right? Like, we're not even in a city, you know? Like, but we'll just forget about that, but... there were, you know, I liked a lot of the little moments, right? Like, the first time that they come into contact with the soot gremlins is really funny to me. You know, like, the girls trying to be brave, and like, I enjoyed all of that stuff. Like, the way that they were clearly troublemakers, right? But were also scared at many points. And I really enjoyed just how much trouble those sisters would cause. Like, when they effectively nearly bring the whole house down. In the beginning, right, where they're just pulling on that beam and everything's just starting to crumble around them, like, I just, that was very funny. They're like, the dad had, he seems to have his work cut out for him a lot of the time.
Yeah, but he's a cool dad, right?
He is a cool,
like,
dude.
They come in and they say this is the house is haunted, and he's like, great, I've always wanted to live in a haunted house.
Yeah,
right?
I really like these characters.
Lauren and I both were watching this and we're like, he's a good dad.
Yeah, he's a very good dad. And like, when they're all scared and he starts laughing, right, like that, like it, when they're bathing and he's just like starts laughing at the top of his voice, like, get rid of the monsters and the ghosts that way. It was really cool. I want to ask you something, because it seemed mm-hmm. interesting to me, and I couldn't quite work it out if it was a different thing to most movies or if I just wasn't noticing it so much. There are a lot of, like, panning shots with landscapes, mm-hmm. and it looked really different. Like, it feels like a thing I don't see in animated movies a lot. I couldn't work out what it was, but it seemed like there was some interesting, like, camera moves going on that seemed to be refreshing in some way. Or am I, like, is there something about that?
I don't know about the camera moves. I will say that Miyazaki loves landscapes.
Yes.
He loves showing lush foliage. He loves clouds.
I love the way water was shown. It was very impressive.
Yeah, there's that thing where something little like pops up out of the water and you watch the ripples and then it just kind of moves on. He loves that stuff. It's incredibly detailed. It's beautiful. I would say most films, animated films, do not lavish that much time and effort on the beauty of the surroundings, but something that is very clear in all of Miyazaki's movies, but it's clear in this one, is that he does a lot of stuff about the environment and about people interacting with the environment and treating it badly and how we should treat it better. There's a line in here about how this is, you know, there was a lot of these things before we started cutting down all the trees or something like that happens. And so he shows a lot of his imagery in his movies is kind of like, look at this beautiful, lush environment. This is rural Japan, or this is Japan as it used to be. And that's definitely a theme that he's trying to get at. His environmentalism, he puts it into the kind of beautiful scenery of the countryside. And it is beautiful. I put on this movie and the first thing I say is, oh, look at those clouds. They're great.
One thing that was striking to me was how much silence there is in this movie. It felt very different to a regular animated movie. Not a lot of, like, of soundtrack, right? Like, there's not a lot of music playing in the background in certain scenes. Like, sometimes it's just silence. No one's even talking. And I think that struck me a little bit. It's like, huh, that feels different to most animated movies that I would see. Like, tension being built by silence, or there just being no music. Like, there's just none, you know, and it's just like, here is some peace. And it was like, huh, it just seemed very different to me. And I think I kind of liked that a lot. It didn't help my overall feeling of dread about what was going to happen to the mum. Like, right. I was very, very nervous about what seemed inevitable death of the mom in this family.
One of the funny things about these Miyazaki movies is that we do bring our Western anticipation of story structure onto the movie. And something that I've learned about Miyazaki movies is I keep looking. So when I was first watching these movies, I keep looking for a villain. I keep expecting a traditional linear plot, and I keep expecting things that are dramatic that happen in movies, like the mom dying
in
to
the
happen.
Third act, right?
And they don't. Like I said, who's the villain in this? Literally, the villain in this movie is the illness that the mother has. There are no people who are antagonists in this film. Kiki's Delivery Service, which hopefully we'll watch sometime, the villain in that is the weather. Like, that's it. The wind. The wind is the enemy in that movie. There is no traditional antagonist. And so, yeah, you kind of start expecting stuff that the movie doesn't just refuses to deliver. It's not that kind of movie.
And it was pretty heavy, right? Like, they're talking about the mom dying, right? Like, that's a thing that happens when the telegram comes.
And when May goes missing later in the movie, they're like searching a pond to see if she drowned, right?
Oh God,
and they find a shoe, and they're like, is this her shoe? God. And she's like, nope, that's not her shoe. I noticed this time that we see her put on her shoes earlier, so we know that's not her shoe.
But you're paying attention.
If you're paying attention. I only did it the 10th time I saw it. I was like, oh yeah, right, that's actually setting us up there. Yep.
All right, I feel like we haven't even mentioned Totoro yet. So, Totoro does not sound the way I expected Totoro to sound. Totoro screams and shouts and growls and roars. I was not expecting that. Honestly, I was expecting Totoro to have a voice.
Well, he doesn't talk, right? But they just kind of make roars and stuff.
Yeah, like I think I was expecting Totoro to be like as cute as Totoro's appearance is, right? Where like. Right. The sounds that Totoro makes are scary sounds.
He roars really loudly and everything shakes, right? He's adorable, but the big Totoro. There is a small, medium, and large Totoro, of course, but the big Totoro.
The see-through Totoro, which I initially thought was like a ghost. That was like, I was like, aha, imaginary
aren't
friend.
Aren't they? I mean, they're like wood spirits, I think. So they can go through things and they're not always there and all of those sort of things, yeah.
Yeah, like so, like I don't have a feeling on like a theory of this movie, really. Like the imaginary friend thing seems obvious in some places, but then like there are parts that I don't have answers for. Like, how does Satsuki get to May? How do they get to the hospital? Right? Like, I don't have, except for the horrifying cat bus. Not like that. Do not like the door on the cat bus. No, thank you. I didn't like that, Jason. That upset me.
I don't love it. I don't love it. I the sound effect makes me laugh because it's like a sci-fi sound effect. It's like,
it makes it even worse. Like, why is the cat making that noise? Did not like the cat bus. Thank you very much.
That's fair. But no, I think we had this discussion on The Incomparable. People can listen to it. Episode 144, Hanging with the Totes. It's a great episode. It's me and John Syracusa and Merlin Mann and Steve
Lutz.
I'm
putting that in my list because I can listen to it now. So
I love that episode. It's a great episode. And we, all of our Miyazaki episodes are great, but that's a great one. We talked about it there. The fact is that, stuff happens in this movie that is not explained any other way. Like May leaves... They leave the corn on the windowsill at the hospital at the end. Like, they totally, it is real. So it's not an imaginary friend, although you could think that, but they are like magical tree spirits, basically.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't have an answer, right? Because, like, if they would have just looked at the mom, that would have been one thing. And if they would have just shown the corn on the window, that would have been another. But it literally had a message from the girls on it, right? There's no way around that other than the fact that they were there. Like, they were definitely there, right? So I found that all very interesting. Like, I really liked this movie a lot. I liked it more when it was done and when it was happening because nothing horrifying and upsetting happened, right? Like, that was my concern. So, like, now, having seen this and having you say that to me, like, I think I will... approach other Miyazaki movies differently, right? Not thinking that something like that there's not a villain or whatever. And
sometimes there is a villain, but the story structures are just very different from what
we
expect.
But at least not necessarily expecting something.
Yes.
That, you know? And I think that would make, on future viewings, I will probably enjoy this movie even more because I really like movies where there are no stakes sometimes. Like, I like watching, upsetting high stakes, right? Like an overall thing that must be overcome. I like watching nice movies where you just get to see like a slice of life type yes. thing. Like, well, I like that type of stuff.
That's one of the reasons that I love this movie, and one of the reasons I love Kiki's Delivery Service, which has a little bit more of a plot, but really not really. And this movie is completely, I would say, plot-free, and it is all about these little experiences, and you can just sit there and enjoy it, and it's and look at the scenery, and I love it. That's I want to give this movie a big hug.
Yeah, and I feel like it would hug you back, like you have a very in a, like would. A very furry, warm.
Although it might also
hug.
Say,
yes. So much noise Totoro makes, like so much noise. But I, you know, I really loved all of the characters. Like I loved all of the characters in this. You know, Grandma is awesome. Like she's super nice. I did find it a bit harsh when like when the they get the sandal and they're like that guy's like, oh, Grandma. Like, what does he say? Something like, oh, she's making a mountain out of nothing again. Like, oh, she's overreacting. I was like, all right. Like, she's worried. I just found that kind of funny. What's the name of the little boy?
Oh, what is his name? I don't know.
I'm going to find it now. That he's really, he's super funny. Kanta.
With the sailor hat?
Yeah, yeah. And he's grunts.
Mm-hmm. Like Kanta.
Kanta. I found him really funny.
Well, and he's like super shy around yeah. Satsuki, but yeah. he's also very helpful and lends her his umbrella and all of that.
And which, like yeah. is really focused on trying to help find Mei, right? Like mm-hmm. this is a great movie, Jason. I'm really, really happy I
oh,
saw
I'm
this.
I'm glad you liked it.
I really, really liked it. It makes me want to watch Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yes. So. Well, we have to do that. We have to do that. That is great too. That is a very different looking movie, but I love that even more than this one. And this one is delightful. Yeah, the Totoro, they are adorable. I believe the origin is Troll, and you see that in the dub where it's like, oh, like the trolls in your storybooks
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
But it says, you know, Totoro, but that's the idea is that it's just kind of like a little girl sort of mangling troll. And that's so it's not, you know, that's we call them Totoros, but they're just these little furry, adorable spirits that float around and are cute. And yes, and that scene, let's just say it, that scene at the bus stop, before the cat bus, the cat bus is creepy, but before that, where suddenly he's there next to them, mm-hmm. and then and he's got, the water is just very slowly dripping onto his nose from his little leaf hat, and then they give him the umbrella, and he doesn't really know how to use it. And then he realizes that the drops are dropping onto it and making a loud noise, which he really likes the loud noise. Mm-hmm. And then he decides to jump and have all the water come out of the trees at once. It is a classic. I love that.
It's a great
I love
scene.
It all so much. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously like, that's like the part where as well, like some of the understanding of what's going on starts to change because it's like, oh, you think it might be all in Mei's imagination, but now Satsuki sees it too.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
that's where it's like, oh, so what is going on here?
And he takes the umbrella away with him
yeah,
on the cat
right?
bus. So that's
so,
that.
Yeah. What does that mean? Yes, it's very, very good. Very, very good. Love this movie, Jason. Thank you for recommending it.
Hey. That's
so
great.
So we have more to watch now in the future. I want to see more of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good. You've made Professor Syracuse very happy as well.
I don't know how he's going to feel about the dubbing.
That's okay. You know, in more advanced, he's going to treat you like one of his children. He's going to be like, oh, that's okay. We'll start you out easy. But yeah, it's a classic. And Miyazaki's movies are great. But my two favorite are Totoro and Kiki's Delivery Service. So they are just, I watch them and I say, oh, I would love more movies like this that are just pleasant to be around. Like, just it's just nice to go on the little journey and be in that world for a little while. And when Japan hosted a World's Fair in 2005, they actually built the house that's in this movie.
Oh, wow.
And I had that thought while I was watching. It's like, wouldn't it be great to walk around that house? And they built that house for the World's Fair. It's amazing.
That's awesome. That's really cool. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Upgrade. I hope that you have enjoyed it as much as we have enjoyed putting it together for you. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to an article on Kotaku of the Totoro House. It looks like it's something... Yeah, it was built in 2005. They built a full-scale yep. replica, and it looks amazing. That looks super, super cool. I think it's still something that you can maybe go and see. I don't know. I'll have to read up on that. That looks like that's super amazing. I love that.